All right. Hold up your Bible. Let me see it. Oh, let me see all the Bibles. Get it up. Come on. Where's your Bible? Come on. Where's your phone? Look at the front row, all these gray-haired folk with phones. Love it. That's amazing. Thank you for bringing your phone. You know what we're going to do today? We're going to have a freedom service. Say amen to that. I'm talking about we're going to get set free from some areas that are holding us in bondage, that are trying to keep us captive. And I don't know what it might be, but God does. And I know you do. There might be places where you're struggling. I had to call my spiritual dad now, since Glenn's in heaven and my dad's in heaven. Mom's already praying over me, you know, and I get to Uvalde, roped yesterday, and it's, you know, they add just a measly 100,000 to the steer roping. I draw the best two steers on the first and second round, and I missed the steereths. I was so disappointed because, again, at the first of the year, that's when you really need to get rolling and, you know, maintain the top 15 in the world to go to the national finals. And I missed both steers. But I caught the worst steer, the third one. I caught him. I was 14 seconds on him, but I still caught him. He got up on the first guy, and Cash Myers has been to the national finals many times in the steer wrestling and the steer roping. Missed him in the second round, then I drew him. I'd already been outside, and I'd already was confessing the Charles Capp confession books that I tell you guys about, and I'm saying, fear does not come near me in the name of Jesus. And I'm disgusted. So I called Rusty, and he gave me a pep talk. And then Ricky gave me a pep talk this morning about, forget about it. You're putting too much pressure on yourself. Stop trying. You were raised with a rope in your hand. And you're just making it so hard and putting pressure. And here I'm up here, and I minister about pressure. And I minister about being held captive. And I'm not saying, the devil's got me and all that kind of stuff. No, I just messed up. But yet, it still bothered me because I'm competitive. And I'm a winner. And I'm not a loser. I'm a believer and not a doubter. Okay? So if the preacher, all of us are going through some things that might have us bound in some areas. And I'm not talking about just those things of pressure and maybe a little bit of fear of not wanting to miss or whatever, or just, you know, trying too hard. But what about drugs that have people captive? You know, listen to me. There's, even in a body like this, or people that are watching, still have to deal with maybe even what we think are hidden sins. But they're only hidden to people, but God knows them. And we need to get set free. We need to not be captive, praise God. So this message really came last week, and then it hit home when I went through, you know, just driving 3.5-4 hours all the way to Uvalde, Texas, and seeing the big old displays of all the people that were killed at that school, and then roping and not having the success that I want to have or used to have. And the things that are entering my mind mentally, and the people that watch me and expect that, you know, I've been in this industry for a while and I should be a lot better than I seem to be at a roping. And I'm sure in my mind, this is my mind, of course, they were all, talking about me, how he looked like a girl and, you know, and not saying looking like a girl's a bad thing, but for a guy, it's a bad thing. Let's just be real. Kind of bad. Well, I won't go there. But anyway. And why is that happening? And all those things. that might have you bound in some areas. And again, let me say it again. It could be things that no one else knows about but you and God. It might be anger. You know, you don't want to say some of these things in church because, you know, it's supposed to be real holy. But really, God wants us to just lay it out there a lot of times so that he can truly set you free. There's pornography. There's things that we watch at home. And man, the language is terrible. But yet, we kind of overlook it in some areas, no matter who you are. Things that are going in our mind as the Bible calls seed. You don't think that it really is affecting you, but really, in reality, it affects you. I was just started steer roping after being a team roper all my life and having great success team roping. I'm not saying I made the national finals, but I'm a preacher, so I knew my job. But I've still had great success and won some great rodeos all across the country. And I'll never forget starting to steer rope. Ooh, doggy. And I believe that God had called me into that part of rodeo, professional rodeo, so that I can minister to them. And I just want you to know, the very first year that I began to travel with someone, some of them just, and steer roping, you have to understand, is there's not as many of them like the other events, bull riders or whatever, where you're gone constantly. In the steer roping, it's the first event in rodeo, as most of you know, with saddle bronc riding. That's what started rodeo. And steer roping is a ranch event where you have to rope the cow out in the pasture where there's no corrals or pens. And you got to get him down. Your horse has to hold him down while you doctor him. And obviously that became an event. It's a bigger animal and you got to tie three legs. And so you got to get off your horse. Your horse is facing the opposite direction, so he has to stop on command. He could run off if he wants to, but he stops on command, hopefully. And then you tie him. So I started steer roping, and I knew that God had opened the door for me to minister. I'd been ministering to college rodeo athletes for a long time and still am. But then God opened the door in this area. And let me tell you right now, they know how to cuss. I mean, I'm hearing it constantly. And you got to be around that kind of stuff because you can't, you know, just isolate yourself. You just got to know what to do when it's constantly coming in the ear. Because every now and then, preacher or no preacher, it could come out of your mouth if you're not careful. So you've got to be putting other things in your ear, in your eyes, reading the Word of God, confessing the Word of God, so that whatever might have you bound in whatever area. And I'm not going to, you know, have people get up and say what area. It might be embarrassing. But there's time that we need to be set free from it right now in Jesus' name. Would you agree? Amen. Whatever it is. So the Lord took me, and I want you to turn in your Bibles to the very first John. There's three of them. You go to Revelations, and then hang a left, and you'll get to three Johns. Not the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No, no. Go to 1 John in the back of your Bible and find chapter 1 of the epistle of 1 John. Now again, if you didn't catch it, whatever may be holding you captive or you feel a little bit bound in some areas, and I don't care what it is. Maybe you got a mouth that's just not real tame, and you just let this mouth say whatever it wants to say. It might be anxiety. It might be a depression spirit on you. It might be where your mind's constantly thinking suicide. I don't know what it might be. Maybe you're older and man, there's lots of fear coming on. I wonder when that cancer spirit's going to get on me because I just see Everybody else dying of that. What about our heart? We're seeing lots of younger people right now. I believe it's because of the vaccine, personally, that people are dying of heart issues. And that fear then is, what if I took it? Well, listen to me. If you had peace to take the vaccine, by the way, and I'm okay with that, but by golly, what I would be praying, since you didn't really know what's going in your body, I would be praying Mark chapter 16 that no deadly poison will kill you. Amen. Okay? Whatever had to go in your body because of a job that you had and they forced you to take the stuff, you pray that no deadly thing, no poison, you know, kind of like that snake, the viper that bit the Apostle Paul, remember? And they were waiting for him to drop dead because of that most venomous snake, and he didn't drop dead because of the anointing of Jesus that was on the inside of him, okay? So we're talking about getting set free, freedom of things that are trying to hold us captive or keep us bound. And let's just jump into it in verse 1 of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, we're talking about Jesus here, and we have seen it, bear witness, and show it unto you, that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declared we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship. So he spells it out. All he's saying in layman terms here is, look, you've seen us. You've heard about the gospel. You've heard about our Jesus. You've seen blind, Bartimaeus healed. You've seen Lazarus raised from the dead. You've seen these things. You've heard these things. You've read these things in the Word of God. So have fellowship, because true fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now here's where we're going. Verse 4, he says, "And these things write we," this is the King James, "unto you, that your joy may be" what? Full. Now think about that, because anytime we're held captive of anything, anytime we're bound, and I'm not just talking bound in a physical sense, prison-wise, but we can be bound in some different areas where, man, we need to get set free from it. And what happens when you're bound and held captive is you don't have much joy a lot of times. Because it seems like the enemy wants you to meditate on all of the stuff that's going on in your life, the thoughts that you're thinking continually. Why is this trial and tribulation happening to me? Why am I still dealing with this thing here? No matter what it is, okay? So the Word's trying to teach us. He's writing these things for us so that our joy may be full. Now, what did Nehemiah say about joy? Excuse me. That the joy of the Lord is strength, our strength, okay? Okay, So here we go again, and he's talking about joy, and he's wanting us to be full of joy, because if we don't have joy, then a lot of times we lose strength. And that's why we keep battling over and over and over the things that draw us away from God. And it might be moment things where it's one night and we just let loose and we're pulled from the Lord and we do things we know is not right. And then we repent, come back to the Lord, you see. Okay, listen. Let's read on. Verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto him, that God, listen, is light. God is light. Say that with me. God is, say it, light. Okay, look what it says after that. And in him, God, Jesus, that lives on the inside of us, hopefully. If not, you're going to get born again today. And in him is no darkness at all, it says, right? Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, remember, what is fellowship? Because having fellowship with him, he wants us to have be full of joy, right? We're fellowshipping with God. We're fellowshipping with like believers. God is light. There's no darkness in him at all. Not a bit of darkness, right? So if we say we have fellowship with him and then walk in darkness, then we lie and do not know the truth. Okay. Now don't fall under guilt or condemnation, okay? Don't get into that junk. I mean, thank God for grace and mercy. Amen. Forgiveness, etc. But what God's trying to teach us here is that there's only one way to stay full of joy, and that's to have the continual fellowship with the God of light, because there's no darkness in him, right? Okay, let's read on. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, and he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all what? Say it louder. I know most people don't like that word, sin. Matter of fact, there's a lot of preachers and churches that don't even talk about sin any longer. Well, if we step on some toes, well, that's why I don't take a salary here, because you can't fire me. Might as well just step on some toes, because normally when I preach, no, this is the truth. When I preach to me. I figure if I need it, you need it. Amen. 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 Now, don't start a Facebook rumor. The preacher's in sin. Not in sin. All right. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all. Not just some, all sin. Say amen to that. Amen. So verse 8 then says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, let's talk about that just for a second, because that can mess up a lot of people. Because we know the scripture that says we all fall short of the glory of God, right? And that a lot of times then causes people then to have almost a permission then to sin, because, you know, that's just part of life. We all fall short of the glory of the Lord. And it gives us a little bit of permission in our minds that well, you know, if we sin, we sin. When really, you want to stay bound and captive in some areas, then you'll have that mindset that, well, we just all fall short of the glory of God. And you really don't understand that you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, which is the light and no darkness again, is in him at all. You don't, you're just trying to fellowship with God and right people. I'm telling you, sin does not have dominion over you and me as a believer. We can go to Romans all we want to if we have time, but we'll find out that we're justified when we give our lives to Jesus. And that word justified literally means, that's chapter 5 of Romans. We're justified by faith, which means justification is that we're acquitted, we're declared righteous, and we're given a right standing with God. So the problem with us not being full of joy is possibly maybe not continually fellowshipping with God and allowing us to, you know, do a few things that, you know, God, he'll understand that. And if it's wrong, I'll just ask God to forgive me and he'll cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Well, he will. But if you want to get set free from what's causing you to be bound, and you want to get set free from being captive to something, some area, some sin, then you want to continually fellowship with God. That's why after round one of yesterday missing and being disgusted because I drew the best steer in the herd, I went immediately and I started getting into the Word of God. Well, then the devil, if you're not careful, can really destroy you when I missed the second steer. Well, wait a minute, sir. I just got in the Word of God, and I was just confessing that I have the mind of Christ. Well, even if you have the mind of Christ, your mind can't control your right arm when you throw a loop towards a steer. I mean, you got to do that thing the way you were trained and rope that thing or whatever. But boy, there's the battle. The battle in that mind. So here, we're trying to learn here in John's gospel, the first John, that if we'll just stay fellowshipping in the light, there's no darkness. You know what that told me yesterday of what happened? Who cares? Who cares? As the boys said, both of them this morning and yesterday, steer roping does not define me. Doing what we do does not define us. You know what defines us? It's how we live in the fellowship of our God. Okay. Check this out now. So verse 8 says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. And all God's trying to tell us is, yes, there is a sin world out there. It's the sin nature. But the good news is that's why Jesus, the Son of God, was sent, so that we can have a new nature. That's why the first part of this is saying, look, God is all light. There's no darkness in Him. And all we've got to do is start figuring out that, hey, we're held captive in this area. The only thing that's going to get it out of us is the Word of God. I mean, staying in the light, staying in fellowship with like believers. I've always said it, y'all, that we should always have a heathen friend. But the only reason we should have a heathen friend is so that we get that heathen born again and then go find another heathen friend. You are not supposed to go down to their level. We're still supposed to bring them up and cause them not to be a heathen any longer. The only way to do that is to stay in fellowship with God. Because if you're not careful and you go down to their level, then you're in darkness. And there's no fellowship in darkness. I'm not saying that God's turned His back on you. I know a lot of people have said that over time. You know, sin causes you, God, to turn away from you. No, He doesn't. He's always there. All He's wanting you to do is turn back to Him. That's why it's constantly here talking about fellowshipping with Him, because God's light and there's no darkness in Him. There's no darkness at all. So, yes, it may take some perseverance to stay hooked in God's light and not be swayed away with all the junk of darkness. But if you'll do that, that's when you're not bound any longer. That's when you're set free and you're not captive to the things that are constantly on you. No. Why don't you stay in fellowship with God? Because then faith will rise up and you'll begin to say things like, greater is He that's in me than he that is in the world. You'll begin to say things like, I'm the head and not the tail. Whatever has me bound won't have me bound any longer, because the devil is under my feet. I have the authority to use the name that's above every name. And that name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. And what happens is then faith is just begins to rise up on the inside of you, and it's all because you stayed in the light. You fellowshipped with light and not darkness. Even though, y'all, darkness is all around, even though we live in a world that is a sin nature, we're not supposed to live of it, though. And our only hope is staying in the light. What is light again? Fellowship with God, the light, because there's no darkness in Him, y'all. All right? Look at verse 9. Because, and this is why we get so messed up on, we all fall short of the glory of God. What's in my mind here, I'm going to try to help get it out to some understanding. There's always going to be the nature of sin here until we're called up to meet Jesus in the air, and we reside in heaven. Remember, I don't have time to go into when that happens, and there's a 7-year tribulation. After the 7-year tribulation, we come back here for a 1,000-year reign, okay? No sin. But right now, we're having to live in and around a sinful world. But this is the only way to not live of it, is fellowshipping with God, who is light, and no darkness is in Him. Okay? So, when it says in the scripture above, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves because the truth's not in us. Here's what God's trying to tell you, the next verse, because here's the truth. If you do fall into it, if you do get swayed with temptation or tempted to fall and you fall, here's the best part when you have fellowship with God. If we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just. Remember, we're already justified. We're acquitted, declared righteous, given a right standing with God because Jesus is the Lord of our life. So He's saying He is faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins and what? Cleanse us. Say it with me. From all, say all unrighteousness. Oh, man. That should make so many people happy. I mean, if you know how to do the Cotton Eye Joe, you should get up and do it right now. Don't do it. I mean, that's what's going to get us set free. That's why we need a freedom service today. Amen. Because there's things that hold us bound, and we just learned that God is light. There's no darkness in Him at all, and we just need to fellowship in the God of light. That's why I want friends that's going to build me up. I didn't call anybody else except my wife. I knew she was going to build me up. I called Rusty, and I didn't call anybody else, and then told Ricky about it this morning because I knew they would go, "What's wrong with you, boy? Stop trying so hard. You know what to do." And I'm like a little kid. "Yes, sir. Yes, sir." Why? Well, because I don't want to be bound. I don't want to be captive to all that junk. I want to be set free in Jesus' name. So I've got to fellowship with light. I didn't run to the bottle. I don't drink, but I mean, how many people that run to the bottle quickly? Okay, I remember a calf roper I was praying for made the national finals. And the first 3 rounds at Las Vegas, he said, "Corey, come pray with me. I'm nervous." It was his first time to make the national finals in the calf roping. And he came to me and he said, "Man, I'm just nervous." And so we were right in the middle of a casino. And I said, "All right, give me your hand." And it was just before he was going to get his horse and trailer or go to the Thomas and Mack at Las Vegas. And that's a big deal. I mean, they gave $10 million away this year. And he made the first. And it's only the top 15 in the world that makes the national finals. He said, "Pray with me, Corey. I feel nervous." So I prayed, "Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. And I just thank you for giving this man a soundness of mind, a confidence in Jesus' name." And then night 2, he said the same thing. "Come here, Corey. I need you to pray with me. And then night 3, he came. But night 4, he said, "You can still pray with me, but this whiskey is helping me. I'm just going to do 1. And it's calming me down." I laughed at that boy. I thought, "You crazy son of a gun." But really, what was the truth? As he was turning to it instead of turning to the truth. Because there's no darkness in our God. But here's the good news. God's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. What we say at the very first of the service, that we're made righteous if Jesus is the Lord of your life. All right, so here's what we're going to do just real fast. No one's going to know anything about what's going on in your life. And it doesn't matter. No one needs to know. But faith is a mighty force. And it's going to take faith for you to get up and say, yep. And it may be under your breath, Father. Oh, I need. Now, the devil, he's going to say, come on, it ain't that big of a deal. No, no, no. If you need to get set free from the captivity that you're under or that you're bound in some little areas, it might just be the spirit of fear. I don't know. Then we're going to get rid of it today in Jesus' name. Come on. I'm telling you, God, you can get rid of it right now, and then I'll tell you what to do after it. So if that's you, I'm going to do something I haven't done in a long time. I'm not going to just have you stand up right where you're at. If that's you and you want to get set free of things that are holding you captive and have had you bound, they may leave and then come back and leave and come back. I'm talking about we're going to set you free today in Jesus' name. I want you to get up and come here and stand right up here right now. Come on. Get up here. Come on. Whatever it might be. I don't care if it's little, big. It does not matter. You get up here and you, by faith, don't allow the enemy to cause you to remain in those seats to where you can't get free. No, you get up here. God wants to set all of us free right now in Jesus' name. Now, he already knows what you're going through. He already knows what's got you bound. He already knows where you're captive in some areas. You got to get set free of it right now. Just get up by faith and come down here. And let God set you free right now. Because he wants to. Come on. I'll wait for just a half a minute. If you're still in those seats and you need to be down here. And we don't judge anyway because we don't know what someone's going through. I mean, it might be grief from losing someone. I don't care what it is. Grief is not from God anyway. The devil wants you to stay in grief for a long period of time over a loved one leaving this earth. And you need to remember, you got to keep living. Amen? Okay, here's the deal. Here's what we're going to do. Preachers, any preachers in here? Just come up here. You stay right there. Let's get set free from it. Y'all be in agreement that every single one of these people are set free in Jesus' name. Amen? I want to touch every one of you. But ministers, if you'll just begin to pray over people. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to say freedom. And when I say freedom and I touch you, I want you to say, I receive that in Jesus' name. I don't have to say a long prayer over you. I just say freedom in Jesus' name. Freedom. 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 Freedom in Jesus' name. Come on, you can do it. Freedom. Freedom, my brother. Freedom. Freedom. Say it. Freedom. Freedom. Come on. Freedom. Come here. Grab me your hand. Freedom. In Jesus' name. Freedom. 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 Come on, say it. Freedom. We're not keeping this any longer. Freedom. Freedom. Stay right there. Hang on. Freedom. Freedom. Freedom right now in Jesus' name. Freedom. 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 Come on, freedom. Freedom. You don't deserve it. Come on, set free. Freedom. 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 Come on, set free. Free. Be free. Free. Amen. Free. Come on. Come on. Get your hands uncrossed. Come on, you can do it. Come on, freedom. Come on, you deserve it. Freedom. 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 Come on. Freedom. 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 Come on. You got it? Freedom. Freedom. Glory be to God. Freedom. Jesus' name. Come on. Set him free, sir. He deserves it. Free. Come on. Y'all deserve it. Freedom in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Did I touch everybody? Okay. Now, before you leave, here's the deal. And I'm just going to remind you of this right now. Okay? All of you were set free. Okay? Now, don't think, since we live in a fallen world, that the devil's not going to come back and try to convince you that you're not set free. So you tell him that he's a liar. And the father's of lies. And you don't believe that stuff. Okay? Because you deserve better. Okay? Here's the thing, though. It's easy to go right back into captivity and being bound when you don't fellowship with the light. Okay? So if you're hanging around people that's drawing you from the light, then that's why the Bible says don't yoke yourself with them. And that's the hardest thing, y'all. Yeah, but they've been my friend forever. Yeah, but they don't have to know you're not yoking with them any longer. Just say, you know what? I am busy and I'm going to church. You want to go? I mean, sometimes we've got to be bold to stay in the light. So that's what I declare in Jesus' name. Stay in fellowship with God. Stay in fellowship with people that think like God. And you know who they are. Okay? So, freedom in Jesus' name. Now give God praise. Amen? Thank you, Lord. All right. You can sit down if you want to. Oh, Jesus. I like that. Hallelujah. I see a little soul sister in you, girl. Woo! Glory be to God. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want you all to pray this prayer after me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Forgive me of my sins. This day is my God day because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is my Lord. He's my light. He's my everything. And in Him, I will live. He is the light of the world. And there is no darkness in Him. Therefore, God, I will fellowship with you in Jesus' name. Now, don't look up just for a second. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus and you never had, you prayed it. You said, Jesus, come into my life. What I'm talking about is, according to John 14, what you just did is the only way to get to heaven. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes unto the Father but by me. So if you just prayed that prayer, and all of us prayed it not to get saved again, I have everybody pray it even if you're saved, so you can pray it with someone beside you that may have never prayed it before. They may have never given their hearts to Jesus, but they just did. If you just prayed that prayer, you meant it, you gave your heart to the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about you before this service didn't know where you would go if you left this earth, heaven or hell. But now, because you prayed that prayer and Jesus, the Son of God, is the Lord of your life and you meant it, I'm telling you, the Bible says you're going to bust heaven wide open when you leave this earth. If that was you with no one looking around, and I want you to be bold. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front and I'm not going to embarrass you. But I want you to be bold enough right where you're at. If you just prayed that prayer and you gave your heart to Jesus, and you meant it, I want you at the count of three to raise your hand up. And by raising it up, you're saying, God, I meant that prayer. I gave my heart to Jesus. And then just put your hand back down. See, I want you to do that with boldness, because the Bible says if you'll confess Jesus before men, you know what Jesus said? I'll confess you before the Father. In other words, don't be ashamed. If Jesus became the Lord of your life this morning, then you be excited about it and be happy and bold to raise that hand up when I say three. You ready? With boldness. If you just gave your heart to Jesus and prayed that prayer, get that hand up at three. One, two, three, go. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. Let me see that hand, and I'm going to have someone hand you a Bible. No one's looking. And then just put your hand right back down. Is anybody else? You raise that hand. Let me see it, and then put it right back down if you hadn't already. Glory be to God. All right, look at me. I get tickled in my mind because people want to stretch, but they're afraid that they'll get seen as getting saved again. And so it's kind of like being in an auction. You don't want to wave at someone because you just bought 12 head of cattle. If you just raised your hand and you gave your life to Jesus, you're my brother and sister in Christ. Okay? And we got to celebrate that, because we need to live with each other. That's how we fellowship, is now that you're a born-again person or have been, man, we need to fellowship with each other. I need to be built up, not tore down. I think the world tears us down enough, right? Let's start getting built up. And I'm happy, full of joy, that we were set free this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Well, did y'all have a good time?